This week I was struggling to think about where to begin. It feels like I begin at many of the same places I have over the last couple of years, wondering how we're all feeling amidst the continual changes, pressures, and anxieties that we see and feel and experience as the world continues to turn. Whether that's with the continual unknowns of coronavirus and if there will indeed be another wave, or if we have actually found our way into a time where we can learn to live with it together. Perhaps it is that ongoing mix of hearing about the war in Ukraine and wondering when it will all end, what the end goal is, if anything, and how this will continue to affect our ongoing life. Not just that as in a more global war, but also with the ongoing increases in our natural resources, which we have benefited from getting from Russia over the years. Amidst all of that, there are the things that go on in our day-to-day lives, the things that hit our hearts, hit our minds, which we cannot shake, whether that is sometimes the pressures of work or difficulties and stresses within the family. Maybe it's with wider relationships or uncertainty of where things are going for ourselves. I love the Psalms because they do invite us into that space of asking who we are and what we're feeling. But they draw us into that place of asking, but where is God in the midst of this? It's that important point of Lent where we begin to recognize that space and that distance that we might feel from God. And begin to ask ourselves, where is God in the midst of this? Where is God in the midst of the world, especially within all its troubles? And true to form, I would say, in the world, what has been lovely once again to see is amidst great crisis and adversity, great violence and things that we feel are indeed evil and or unjust, the world once again rallies around each other to care for those who are feeling the brunt of this. It's a mix of offering financial support or support of resources, midst of offering promises for how we can open up our homes and our nation to more people. It's putting pressure on the government to relax things that they see are important to protecting ourselves and our nation, to actually open up for those who are much more vulnerable and who are in much more need than us. This morning, in one of the news articles that flashed up on my phone, was the story of a man who was talking about his great struggles right now. This man was a refugee from Afghanistan when ISIS came in, and he ended up fleeing to the Ukraine, made a home and a life in Ukraine, in Kyiv, and now has found himself fleeing once again from violence and war. His simple line of saying, I fled one war, only to find myself in another. And for me, in my life, have spent a lot of time thinking I'm running from one war to another. Whether it was a sense of the local moral world and society that we live in, feeling like it's deteriorating, having less appreciation for the church and for our ministry, whether it was a sense that actually what I was called to, no one else believed might be true. I felt that there have been times where when I decided to express myself in ways that felt authentic to me, I felt that there was some pushback, some judgment, or some people who refused to then engage with me because of my piercings or my tattoos or the music that I listened to. All of these things that were hitting me very deeply, and very much at the heart of who I am. And yet, when I see what's going on in the wider world, I wonder, where is God in the midst of it? And what is my calling to be a part of? And put those things in perspective as I seek to be a better global citizen, a better child of God in God's very kingdom, a kingdom that we pray week in and week out would come on earth as it is in heaven. I've noticed something with Zaria over the last couple of years as she's gotten more independent, is that she continues to love and appreciate us spending time with her. She particularly loves time in stories. But there comes a point where when she's asked after time and time and time again if I can stop and read a story with her, and I say, I've just got to finish this one thing, Zarya, I'll be right with you. Where she finally gets fed up and picks the book up and starts reading herself. And it's that sense of actually where we get to that point, I think, in our lives where we start to say, you know, yes, this is important. Yes, I want to be with you, but I can't wait any longer for you to prioritize me. I'm going to get on with it. And although I know she's not doing it in an aggressive way, it does always make me pause and wonder, where am I as her father in these moments? What does it mean to be with her and to prioritize her in a single story when I feel the weight and burdens of my life and my diary or my lists that I think need to be cleared out first? Where is God in the midst of our lives? The Psalms encourage us that when we do not feel God with us present, when we feel the enemy encamping around us, when we feel the pressures of life and we see evil rising up in the world in ways that we think are truly against God, are unjust, and are things that we should, as Christians, not stand for. It is not just a matter of us to pray, but it is a matter to call God into action. It is a matter of saying, stand up, O Lord, be who you have promised to be that light, be our salvation. Be the one in whom we can trust. In the Jewish mind, when they think about salvation, when they think about being in the presence of God, it wasn't an ethereal, otherworldly thing. When they speak about eternity, it wasn't about a place where they were going when everything got sorted out. It was about how they were in the presence of God in the midst of what was going on in their life. We hear in our psalm, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the fair beauty of the Lord, to seek his will in his temple. It's that call to be present in fullness in the world that we are given, to recognize that God is seeking to be active in it, and seeking that we partner with that action in the world. To be not only the people who stand up in our words and in our actions, but also stand where others cannot, to call God into account. To say, God, we have gone this far and will go no further. When will you come and act? How can you be the salvation that we seek? Because we seek your face, O Lord. There's a beauty in that call for us to allow these moments where we gather as church, to gather as God's fellowship, as God's family, to recognize our need and our dependency on the very life of God. But that call and that life that we receive, as we say week in, week out, is not just for ourselves, but really is, as Jesus said, was for the life of the world. And as Jesus says in his gospel reading today, as he reminds us of Jerusalem, that place that needed God, that called out to God, that had the temple built in honor of God, and yet wouldn't recognize when God was seeking to gather them as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. They saw themselves and saw that position as their power, as their status, as their beacon of who they were in the world. Something that echoes back to, as we heard, that promise and that covenant of God with Abram this morning. But the covenant of God was to be the one who always shows up, the one who would be present to them so that they could be present to others. The temple was never meant to be the thing that was the barrier from others coming to know God, but it was meant to be the welcome place, that light on the hill that would gather people from every corner, wherever they came from, with whatever they had, to be a part of God's family, to be welcomed where no others would welcome them, and to be cared for if they had needs. The brood is gathered under the wings of the hen, not because they are incapable, but because they are loved. Not because they cannot find their own way in the world, but because they are cared for. But then they are sent out from that place of safety and to that place where the little ones can then cry, "Where are you when I need you?" It is not just in safety in that you are loved, but in the paths of life that you continue to walk. Deliver me not into the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and those who breathe out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and he shall comfort your heart. Wait patiently for the Lord. We struggle to find that balance between waiting and patience and action, and oftentimes swing from one extreme to another. But in these moments, too, we are invited into that space of the God who has promised to be with us, who has promised to be a part of the world with all of its brokenness and all of its goodness, a promise that we are not abandoned or forgotten. But we must also, in those places where we do not feel God, ask God to show us where he is, or to come in a new way to be that light and that salvation which we so desperately need. Whether through the inspiration of God's Spirit for how we can act, or whether those things that we can call others to be, or in those great miracles that we so desperately need because it feels that we are incapable of turning our own hearts away from violence, power, and authority. Come, O Lord, come and be our light and our salvation. Help us to wait and be strong, that you shall be the one who comforts us. But come and do not wait. Come and be the shelter and the dwelling for those who so desperately need it. May we rise above, not to cower over our enemies, but to welcome others into the fullness of life in Jesus our Savior. For he has come that all would have forgiveness, all would have mercy, all would have life and have it abundantly. Come, O Lord, be our light and our salvation, and let us wait on the Lord. Let us find strength and comfort in his heart. For the Lord is here. Amen.